Okay, so I just wanted to go over one point that, you know, perhaps I was a little unclear in my presentation last time. But the basic point that I tried to get across was this, that there's a seeming inconsistency in the Rambam, okay? Because if you take a look at the Rambam, oh, by the way, what is that, Pirkei Avos?
Yeah.
Oh, forget it. That's
useless.
Yeah. Maybe we'll, you know, maybe later on in the year. But actually, before the Yom Tovim, I started Hilchos Tshuva. So,
okay. You
know, I just wanted to, what do you call it, continue a little more in this. But basically, it's in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. And there's an inconsistency here, or a seeming inconsistency. Because the Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, okay, the Rambam sets down a general rule which would seem to be pretty much all inclusive, okay, and the Rambam says Kol Mitzvos Shebatorah, Bein Aseh Bein Los Aseh, okay, so that statement would seem to cover pretty much everything that you could find in the Torah. It's either an Aseh or it's a Los Aseh. And this is an unqualified statement. I don't see any kinds of conditions or qualifications, but the Rambam says, call every mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's an asay or a los asay. The Rambam says that if a person, he's im avar adam achas al achas mehen, if a person violates any of them, then he bein b'shogeg, bein b'zadam bein b'shogeg, whether he does it intentionally or unintentionally. Right? The Rambam says that he is chai to do tshuva. Okay? So that would seem to be pretty straight. Okay, now, but if you skip to the Rambam Perek Zion, okay, Halacha Gimel, okay, the Rambam comes along here, and he has now a new thing. The Rambam says, Al tomar she'ein tshuva ela me'averos she'esh bahen maisa, k'gon znus, gezel u'gneva. Do not think the tshuva is only from averos that have a maisa, like sexual immorality, stealing, okay, or armed robbery, okay. Ela kashem shetzarich adam lashuv me'elu, just like a person has to do tshuva from these averos, kachu tzarich lechapes b'deos roz. So too, he has to investigate his internal ideas, his internal thoughts, his internal nature, emotions, v'lashuv min hakas, umin ha'eva, right? He has to do tshuva from anger, from eva, hatred, kina, all of these wonderful, you know, emotions, all these wonderful traits he must do tshuva from. Okay? Redifas amamon, redifas kavod, v'kiyetz behem, min ha'kol tzarech lachzer b'tshuva. He has to be chozer b'tshuva in these. Okay, and then he goes on to say these are even more difficult than the other ones. Okay, fine. But one simple question. I mean, what chiddush is the Rambam telling us? In other words, if the Rambam already told us that you are chayv in tshuva for every single mitzvah that is written in the Torah, so then why does the Rambam have to repeat this? If these are mitzvahs that are in the Torah, so obviously it's included in Halacha Aleph. Why would I think differently? Correct? So that would seem to be, I mean, what is the Rambam talking about here? Okay? Okay, that was my question. Okay? So, the question is, what new information is the Rambam giving us? Okay? So does anybody want to offer a suggestion? Yes, definitely. So I don't know. It seemed like there was some kind of confusion or whatever. But I think that's the basic question, right? That the Rambam does not have to. If the Rambam states a rule, he doesn't have to now come back and tell us, oh, remember, don't forget. Okay. Okay, and the second issue was, the second point was, that if you look further on in the Rambam, in Perek Zayin Halacha Hey, okay, the Rambam goes further, Kol HaNeviim Kulan Tzivu Al Tshuva. All the Neviim were Mitzvah Al San Tshuva. I mean, I don't understand. The Rambam said in Perek Aleph, this is a Mitzvah Minotaur. So what do you mean the Neviim were Mitzvah Al? The Gawa's mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah. Okay? Alright. Okay. Right? So therefore, it would seem that the Rambam is introducing a new aspect of tshuva. Okay? And the new aspect is that the Rambam is saying that that in halacha, in Perek Aleph, the mechayev of tshuva was violating taryag mitzvos. That's one mechayev in tshuva. If I violate taryag mitzvos, I'm chayev in doing tshuva. Okay? But there's a second mechayev in tshuva. The second mechayev is perfection. Even if I didn't violate taryag mitzvos, okay, I am chayev to look into myself and constantly improve my nature. Okay, so any defect in a person's nature is also mechayev him in tshuva.
But there's no one overarching like thing within like the taryag mitzvot that includes perfecting yourself or opening yourself.
What is that?
There's no like overarching like obligation that says like you need to like work on your midah and improve yourself.
Well, if there is, okay, so then the Rambam is not going to make sense. In other words, the only way you can make sense of the Rambam,
it has
to be something other than what he was talking in Perek Aleph. In other words, Perek Aleph, you see, let's put it this way. The Torah in general includes two categories of things. Okay, there are technical mitzvahs, but then there's also perfection. That is part of the Torah. Okay, when the Rambam is saying in Perek Aleph that a person must do tshuva from mitzvah saseh and mitzvah lo saseh, he's talking about a technical violation. Okay, now let me give you an example of what I mean when I say mitzvahs versus perfection. Okay, let's take for example a particular mitzvah. Let's say for example, a person has a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Okay. Now the Torah defines what a person is chayiv in terms of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Okay, so some hold that a person is yotze in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah by saying Kriya Shema in the morning and Kriya Shema at night. Okay, so technically I have complied with taryag mitzvos, with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, by performing Shema in the morning and Shema in the afternoon. Okay, but the question is, would you consider a person perfected? Would you consider that internally, in terms of the person, is that the objective of the Torah, that the person should confine his Talmud Torah to that? You'd say no. You'd say that's the minimum, but a person has to know himself and know if he's capable of directing his energy to a greater extent to Torah. So then he has to do it. Okay? That's in terms of his personal perfection. Okay? But if he doesn't do it, you can't say that he was violated the mitzvah in the Torah of Talmud Torah. Okay? Because whatever the mitzvah in the Torah is, whether it's Shema in the morning or Shema at night, or it's being koveya azman, azman kavua for Torah. Okay? Whatever he does, each mitzvah has a particular description, what I have to do to be yotze the mitzvah. And if I perform that, I'm yotze the mitzvah. Does that mean that I have attained perfection? Does that mean that in terms of the purpose of the mitzvah is that a person should direct all of his energy as much as he could towards Torah? That's a personal thing. You see, that's in terms of the person improving himself. So that's up to him. The Torah doesn't force you to improve yourself. That's up to you. Okay, how you do it. If I decide I'm going to improve myself in this way, and that's going to be an improvement, that's outside of the taryag mitzvahs. Okay?
Right.
Okay? So that's what we mean.
But there are obligations about your actions, about that to help improve certain character traits.
Improve certain character traits, that is correct.
Right, so there may be a minimum and maximum to that too.
May be a minimum and maximum to that too, that's correct. That is right. But the Rambam Perek Zayin is not talking about what the Torah requires you to do. You see, because if you were talking about what the Torah requires you to do, that's Perek Aleph. Right? So he's talking about something beyond what the Torah requires you to do. Okay? Like, for instance, I'll give you another example. Let's say, for instance, a person wants to be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Lulav. So a person picks up the lulav and shakes it. Now, according to the halachic system, he's Yotzei the Mitzvah.
Right.
Okay? But let's say a person says, one second, let me think about lulav. And let me go over the ideas and really appreciate the concept of lulav. Okay? So that, he's not necessarily Yotzei the Mitzvah to a greater degree, you see, but that's an action which he's involving himself in the whole purpose of the mitzvah. The whole purpose of the mitzvah is that he should now, on his own, improve himself and find out ways to increase his level of existence, you see, through improving his value system and an improvement, personal improvement. Okay, so personal improvement is the whole purpose of the Torah, not just to do actions. Okay, but personal improvement is up to the person. That the Torah can't tell you how to improve yourself personally. That's up to you. Okay, so that is what the Rambam is discussing in Perek Zion. That personal improvement is also a mechayev in tshuva. If a person sees that he fell short in terms of his personal improvement, even though he complied with halacha 100%, he's still chayev to go over that and to do tshuva from a personal defect.
In other words, like, you can be like min nevo b'rishis
haTorah. Exactly.
So within that realm.
That's right. Exactly. He complied with the mitzvos,
but you're still like, yeah.
But you didn't. The mitzvos didn't affect you to improve you personally.
Right.
You see, you avoided. The purpose of the mitzvah was the personal improvement. That you didn't pay any attention to. Okay? So that is also mechayev you in tshuva. And that's what the Rambam is discussing in Perek Zayin. Mm. Okay? Now that's why the Rambam says in Perek Zayin that the Nevi'im were mitzaveh on us this. They commanded us with regard to this. Because with regard to the mitzvahs, he can't say the Nevi'im commanded us tayag mitzvahs. So Nevi'im command the person on where the Torah leaves off. They command the person to instruct the person how to improve himself, how to personally improve himself. You see, and that's really how to correct his value system. You see, that's not something that's legislated by the Torah, the value system. But that's something that is the whole purpose. So that's why the Rambam says that the Nevi'im commanded Bnei Yisrael always with regard to the value system is lacking. Okay? So that's what the Rambam means. That's the second Mechayev. Okay? So that's it. Okay. So what I wanted to take up today was in Perek Aleph. Okay, back to Perek Aleph. This is true. So I just want to go through the vidoy, what the Rambam describes, the vidoy that a person has to do in order to do tshuva. Okay, so the Rambam says that the vidoy goes like this, right? Ana Hashem chatasi avisi pashati lefanecha v'asisi kach v'kach v'hari nichamti uboshti b'masi. Okay? So the Rambam has a particular formula for a vidoy. And the formula is, I think some of I went over this with Avi and, what's his name?
Zach.
Right. So, okay? But it's actually based on Gemara. Okay? What the order is. The Rambam has the order, Chatasi Avisi Pashati. But that order is actually Machlokas. And if you take the Machlokas is found in Yuma. Okay? So the Gemara says in Yuma, Gemara says like this, Lamed Vav Amed Beis. Okay? The Gemara says, Ketzad Misvade. Okay? So the Gemara says, actually, the reverse of the Rama. The Gemara says, Avisi Pashati V'chatasi. The exact reverse. Okay?
What's exactly Avisi? Like Avon?
Ah. So the Gemara says like this. So what is Avon? Alright? Gemara says that this order is the same as the Sar HaMashtaleach. Okay, because the Pasuk says, V'hezvadu alav es kol avonos b'nei Yisrael, that's called Pishehem, v'chol chatasam. Okay, so the order found in the Vidoy for the Sar HaMashtaleach is this order. Okay? Okay, but the Gemara says, Divrei Rav Meir. So that's Rav Meir. Meir holds, that's the order of the Vidoy. Okay. The Gemara says Chachamim Momim. They have a different order. Okay. The Chachamim start off like this. Chachamim say Avonos Elu Hasdonos. Okay, so what is Avon? Avon is Donos. It means b'mezig. When a person does a chait intentionally, that's Avon. Okay. And he quotes a pasuk. Okay. Then he says, I guess, Peshaim, what is Peshaim? Elu Hamaradim. That's actions, rebellious actions. Okay? Alright? Rashi says, Maradim Ha'osa Lahachas. Okay? Something that is done, Lahachas, intentionally to spite the system. Okay, as a rebellious act. Okay. So Chachamim say, differentiate between Avonos, which is Mazid, and Peshayim, which is Lahachas. Okay. So the question is, I'd just like to understand what's the difference between these two things. What is the difference between Mazid and Lahachas?
Well, a mazid person, you know, could be someone who just doesn't care for mitzvahs.
Okay.
And they know that they have knowledge of the mitzvah, or what is it, yase, the lotase, and he decides to do it anyway.
Okay.
Not because he has some sort of thing against the system, but someone who's doing something lahachas is really just, he has something against the system, he wants to show he has something against the system, he's gonna do this.
Okay. He's doing it to go against the system.
Right.
And the first guy?
The guy's just doing it because he doesn't want to keep the mitzvahs. He knows it's wrong.
Right.
But
since he doesn't want to keep the mitzvahs, so isn't that going against the system? No, he has to be going against the system. He has to say, I don't care about this system.
Hey, Margaret?
Yes.
Yeah. That isn't the... So I think we know the Lahachas guy is going against the system, but I think the Mazid guy knows that it's wrong and he would like to keep the system, but certain areas and different people are hard to control. People have different emotions in different areas. And in the end of the day, it's not like he's doing this aver by accident, but just by the fact that it's very hard to control, he's going to choose to go with his emotion this time. It's very hard for him, and that's it. He's doing it to maze it. It's just that he would like to keep it, but it's very hard for him.
Correct.
Correct.
He would like to keep it, but it's very hard, right? So that's, in other words, if we go in to the history of his thought pattern, right, that's what we would say. He would really, first he starts off, he says, I want to do this. Then the idea comes in his mind, oh, you're not allowed to do it, then I want to keep the system, right? But then the emotion comes back. No, I want to do this thing. You see, so he's in a fight. Fine, he's in a fight, I agree. But in the final outcome, when the fight is over, right, which part of him is victorious? The part that wants to do it, right? And that part is telling him, what are you so worried about? This system is not, who gives a darn? Right? He's saying, listen, it's a system, fine. I'd rather do my thing. So, what's he doing? I mean, he's saying, I don't really give a darn about the system. I mean, isn't that the final, isn't going to come down, that's the final statement that he's left with. The system, okay, who cares? So it's the same guy. This is the guy's rebelling. He's going. The only thing is, the guy who's rebelling doesn't go through all the shenanigans to begin with. Right? He's right there. System, who cares? He's been through this so many times. He knows. Right? He knows the back and forth. And he said, he just goes straight to the end. System, schmistem.
That's rebelling.
What's that?
So
what's rebelling?
That's what you do, is define rebelling.
To define rebelling, okay.
It sounds like rebelling is just meaning the word, the actual word, as the same thing.
Right, the question is, what's the other possibility besides rebelling?
Says me.
He's going, I don't care about the system. Right? That he's going to have to say that at some point. So what else is there besides rebelling? It's still intentional. See, there's one other way of breaking the system without rebellion. Intentionally. Shogeg is, right, shogeg is unintentional.
So you're saying intentionally.
Intentionally, right?
Oh, okay.
So you could rebel again, you could break the system unintentionally, and you could break the system intentionally. But under intentionally, there are really two possibilities. One possibility is I rebel, which means I say, I know this is wrong, and I'm doing it anyways, right? The other possibility is I don't have to rebel. I could distort. I could say, this isn't wrong. This is not wrong. You see? And that is what most people do. What's that? They rationalize. You see? Most guys, they have the fight, but the fight really does not end up with, oh, the system tells me not to do it. I don't care about the system. No, the fight ends up, this isn't really us, sir. This is not really a violation. Under my circumstances, either in my situation, this is not wrong. This is not wrong. I can't help it. God didn't really intend for me. This is impossible. How can I keep it? You see? So he's saying he's distorting. He's distorting. That's really the route most people take. And if you go back, and the person thinks about how he violated, he's going to remember that he was able to mower heter. He was able to distort it in a way that it's not a real violation. I didn't really do anything wrong. You see? So that's really the breakdown in intentional. Pesha means where the person absolutely knows it's wrong. He doesn't justify it. He just goes against it. He rebels.
So he's like, at least he's like putting himself outside of the box. Like he's like completely separating himself. He's saying, like, that's your system. Like, it's not for me. But
I don't keep the system.
But
that's right.
You know,
that's right. This is the system, but I don't keep it.
He's not trying to like work the system out.
That's right. Exactly.
To where it's like can be kind of okay for him.
That's right.
That's
right.
And that's even worse.
That is like any guy who does evil, right? Person does evil, you confront him. How could you do this? He gives you reasons why. Turns out it's not evil, right? Very few people will go, yeah, it is evil. I'm an evil guy, and I don't care about evil. I do evil. That's my thing.
Well,
very
a
few people.
Psychopath.
Right? That's a psychopath.
Yeah.
Right? And most people will show you how what they did is not really evil. On the contrary, what they did was the greatest thing in the world. They're the greatest tzaddikim. Okay? So that's really avon. Avon is where the person distorts that he's really doing something correct. He's doing a mitzvah, not a chet. Okay? And that's actually, when you think of it, the word avon means to corrupt, means to distort. Because you have the expression lo yuchal lisko, me'uvas lo yuchal lisko. The crooked can't be made straight. That's the same term. Eva. Eva means to bend or to distort. Okay? So that's the right? That's the difference. Okay? So that's really the three categories. One category is unintentional, and under intentional you have purposefully breaking the thing, and then you have distorting the mitzvah. Okay? Okay, so the question is, so what do the Chachamim say? So the Chachamim say like this. So the question is, what's the order? Right? So according to Reb Meir, the order is you start off with what? With the most egregious, and you go to the lightest. Okay? You go Avisi Pashati V'Chatasi. You go from Mezid to Shogeg. Okay? According to the Chachamim, it's the reverse. The Chachamim say like this. Chachamim say, Elekachayim Mitzvada, Chatasi Avisi Pashati. You start off with Shogeg, and you work your way up to Mezid. Okay? So why is that? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, what does Chachamim say? Chachamim say, Umeachar shehizvada al hazdonos val hamaradim. According to Meir, after you've done vidoy on the purposeful actions on the mezid, he says chozer misvada al shkaga. Now you can do misvada on shkaga on shogeg. He says elakachaya. Actually, it should be the reverse. You first are misvada on shogeg. Okay, you first misfire on shogeg, then you go to the more difficult. Okay. Okay, so let me just see if Rashi says anything. He says, I guess. See, Rashi says, Chozer misvada, Rashi says, bit me up. Im al zdonos yimchalu, if God is mochel you on the zdonos, on mezid, ain't sarach levake shuv al shkagos. The person doesn't have to ask for the Chicago's anymore. Now, as he's already received mechila, pardon, on the mezid, well, you can ask for a Schrodinger, that's it. You're off the hook. Don't come back, you know, you go to somebody and they were mochel you on, I don't know, the worst crime. You stole from the guy. He says, nah, no problem. And by the way, also, I dirtied the carpet a little. I mean, that's it. It's not necessary to bring up the minor infractions. Okay, so therefore, he says you have to do the reverse. You start off with the small, you get mechila for that, and then you work your way up. Okay.
Kind of seems like the way, you know, practically, if you wanted to get, you know, forgiven for something, like you said, like, oh, you know, I dirtied the carpet. Not a big deal. Oh, and, you know, I kind of stole $20 from you.
Right. Right.
So, like, you kind of get the guy, you know, position where he's already forgiving you, and then
you can,
yeah,
right. You see how things are going. Like,
I stole $100,000. Okay, and now I stole $80,000.
Exactly.
If you go downward, that doesn't work.
Right. You see how things are going, and then oh, by the way, also, you know, I burnt your house down. You know,
and then you run.
That's it. Exactly. You know. Yeah. So you mean that would seem to be the logical way to maneuver?
I guess so. Or, I mean, you can also see the other way. Like, you tell the guy, listen, I stole, you know, $100,000 from you. But I also dirtied the carpet. He's not even going to care about the dirtying of the carpet, necessarily.
True.
But
true. Okay.
That kind of way seems like you're trying to slip something, you know.
Slip something by,
right?
Right. Okay, so then, that would seem not to be the most forthcoming.
Right.
Person with integrity would, not want to pull the wool over, you know, God's eyes. I mean, right. So what do you say? So what would be the justification to start off with the most severe crime? I mean, logically, the Chachamim really makes sense. This is how you ask for mechila. You don't start off with the most difficult thing. It doesn't make any sense. You do vidoy, why start off with the worst? You can always get to there.
For a person, that's the most difficult thing to confess to.
Okay.
Like the stealing $100,000, you know, you steal $1 one day. All right, no big deal. You tell the guy you stole a dollar.
Right.
But it's like it takes a lot of a person to admit to such a mistake.
That's correct. Okay. So therefore, so what is the machlokas in terms of vidui? How would you formulate the machlokas in terms of vidui? In other words, two possibilities.
Well, whether vidoy is for him,
yes,
or whether vidoy is his just his action of doing vidoy. Or, yeah, I don't really have the other side so well.
Well, one side is vidoy
for him. Meaning, what do you mean for him? Oh, that's the thing that you go slowly, you start off.
Yeah. No. The for him would be starting off with, you know, the biggest thing.
Okay, the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Right. And what's the other way? The other way is for who? Now, it's the other way, you're saying that the vidoy is that you're mevakesh, you're coming in front of God to ask for mechila. Right? So there you're saying the vidoy is a bakasha, it's a request. Requesting of God something. So a person comes to request of God, he starts off with a small request. Right? But if you say vidoy is not the primary thing of vidoy is not as a request, but the vidoy is admission. Right? A person is admitting sin. So he's admitting before God what he did. So then on the contrary, if I start off with a small lax in admission, it means I can't really admit what I did. Right? In terms of admission, like you're saying. In terms of admission, right, recognition of the chait that I did, so then I have to recognize the greatest chait. That shows I'm coming forward and I'm just coming clean. I'm coming clean. In terms of coming clean, that I'm recognizing and admitting my chet, it's a declaration of admission, so then you have to do the greatest. That's Reb Meir. But the Chachamim say it's true, vidoy is a recognition. You see, but it is also a tefillah. The person is soliciting God for mechila. He's asking for mechila. So insofar as it's a tefillah, it's a request, there it's improper to request the greatest thing. You come humbly in front of God to request the smallest. And then you proceed. Right? So that's the machlokas. That really vidoy contains two aspects. It's a tefillah, but it's also a karis achet. It's a recognition of what a person did wrong. The question is, which is the primary? Okay, so according to Reb Meir, the primary is recognition and admission. So then the mezid has to come first. According to the Chachamim, the primary is tefillah. Okay?
So according to the Chachamim, it shouldn't really make a difference which order you do it in?
According to Chachamim, you must start off with shogeg.
Why? If it's just tefillah, it shouldn't make a difference which order you do it in.
Why? Why shouldn't it make a difference?
Then you're making a request. You're asking for something. You should do it. Start from the smallest.
Right now, when you come for a request, if you ask for the greatest thing, that's an arrogant thing. That means, hey, I'm coming here. Here's what I want. Right? Now, you come, you don't really deserve the answer, but you're coming with meekly to ask for mechila. Because you don't really deserve it, and it's chesed Hashem that you're going to get it. Right? So there, a person has to recognize that concept. So he comes asking for the smallest thing. And then once he's got the smallest thing, so then he reluctantly has to ask for more, but he knows that it's a recognition, right, that a person is not really deserving. So it's a reluctance. Tefillah has to represent, you know, has to express the idea of reluctance. Their reluctance is in order, you see, because it shows that you recognize your low stature. But in terms of admission, their reluctance is a bad thing. Admission, you want boldness. The guy admits readily that he did the chait. So then boldness demands I say the greatest thing first. And then the lesser things, okay, I'll admit them later, but more important, I should say, the worst chait, that I have to admit. All right? So that's why the Chacham say, so that's what Rav Meir says, it has to be the worst. Okay? So Gemara says that we go like the Chacham. Okay, so that's why the Rav Meir has the order from the lowest to the greatest. All right? An interesting thing, I mean, parenthetically, who would you say is worse? Because that is unclear. In other words, what would you say is worse, the rebeller or the distorter?
I'd say the distorter.
You say the distorter.
I'd say the rebeller.
You say the rebeller. Okay. Wait, right, why? Why do you say the rebeller?
Because the distorter still believes in a system. Okay. He still has just his system. I mean, he still thinks he's satisfying the right system. He's just mistaken by a fact that you can't distort the system, but he still thinks he's believing in it. So as far as he knows, he's still in line with the system.
Right.
So he's not going against the system. The rebeller, there's nothing there. Like he's
nothing
just
there, nothing there, right.
He knows there's a system and he knows he's not following it. I mean, so there's nothing. I don't see any way how the distorter, maybe in terms of his his own perfection, maybe he's not as good or something, I don't know, because he's distorting reality and
right.
The rebeller isn't. He's
right.
Beller's in line with reality. He knows I am going to distort the system. I am going to go against the system.
Right.
So maybe in terms of his ideas, he's the smarter person, but not in terms of, I wouldn't think in terms of the other thing.
So in terms of his ideas,
he might
he's,
not be as
he's
good. Meaning in terms of how he thinks about it. Oh,
right.
No, he might, you know, he's...
In terms of
his
ideas,
he's might
more in line with reality.
Right.
He knows what he's doing. Right? But in terms of what? In terms of his personal...
But in terms of his
personal level.
Type,
yeah, that's good. That's good.
Perfection.
That's good. Now, in terms of his personal level, he's worse. Because he knows what he's doing, he is just going against it. The other guy, okay. He doesn't know what he's doing. Right? So in terms of his level, that guy's worse. You have nothing to work with. I mean, the guy's just purposely against it. But in terms of reality, in terms of his knowledge of reality, he's really straighter. Because he doesn't distort. In other words, if you could get to the guy, if you could somehow get to the guy, right, it'd be easier to convince him. If you could show him that this is a great system, and the guy possibly would convert, would come back. You see, but the guy who distorts, you can't. The guy thinks he thinks he's a tzaddik. How are you going to get there?
And what metric are we using to, I guess, just to backtrack to determine who's worse?
Right. Well, that's the question. What measuring rod do you use?
Yeah. So if maybe, I mean, there's a bunch of different angles we could look at, like, you know, in terms of what effect it could have on other people,
right?
Maybe, like, you know, because it could uproot the whole, you know, because if you know, like in Jewish history, you know, people that have kind of made slight changes to halacha and slight changes to the system, it kind of snowballed from there and started
true.
Uprooting the whole system. But then Jews that just left completely, it didn't really corrupt the system, because it stayed the same and nothing really changed.
That's a good point.
Changed.
He just left the system.
He just so left
he
and he was
distort.
He was done.
That's a good point.
Completely.
That's
so
point.
Even though the other people still had a connection to Judaism, but
right.
they're but what is their connection? Their
right.
connection's
distorted,
really
yeah. That's true. That's a good
and
point.
It, and it has a negative effect.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, they could do more damage because they're distorting the system.
Right.
That's true. That's a good point.
So they're doing like some things that are
right.
connected to God, but yeah.
That's a good point.
So
okay.
are we looking at on individual level or on
I mean, I was just saying, like, in other words, in terms of the person himself. Yeah. So the question is, in terms of the person himself, if you look at the person in terms of his level, you see.
Yeah.
So then you could say the distorter might be not as bad. You see?
Yeah.
Because he's not really going against, he doesn't think he's going against the system. But if you're looking objectively in terms of how the man thinks, then you say maybe the guy's worse because he's distorting reality, and the other guy's really straight. The guy knows exactly what he's doing. So in terms of the way the man thinks, this guy's straight. Then the distorter's worse. The question is how do you judge the guy? How do you evaluate?
Yeah.
Two ways of evaluating.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, two possibilities, right? Okay.
You say the same thing for a guy like who thinks he's being a religious individual, but like he's really just got wrong ideas. Like he's distorting the system. He thinks certain things about Judaism, but then you have a guy who's a complete atheist, but he's just following his mind, and that's where his mind has taken him. He hasn't been exposed
We do have a standard of halacha that, like, if someone is doing, like we mentioned, like at the beginning, like there's minimum and maximum to doing halacha. So you could have ideas about like the mitzvah that you're doing, but at the same time you're still yotze. Like if you're doing it, even though you have no, well, it depends on which ones. But like you know what I mean. Like, but like if you're like picking and choosing, if you're saying, oh, like Shabbat, like, you know, doesn't really make sense to me, like.
Well, I'm saying,
like, you're in line with your own stuff.
Let's say you have an individual who, like, you know, his sect of Judaism, let's say, for argument's sake, believes that, you know, there's a piece of God in everyone, right?
A piece of what?
Piece of God, and like they don't really, but they think they're being from, but they're just distorting the whole system, or, you know, they think certain halachos are different, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
As opposed to a guy who just completely says, hey, listen, I've studied science and I've studied this, and my conclusion is that God doesn't exist.
Right.
So he's completely just denying the whole thing.
Right. That's true.
So are we going to say the same thing over here in this case?
I mean, in a case like that, when you say one guy's distorting, philosophically he's distorting.
Right.
And the other guy in philosophy, he's straight. The other thing is
but there's two things. There's the philosophy and then there's the action. I mean, because they might have certain wrong philosophical ideas, but they're still keeping halacha for the most part.
But you're saying, would you say?
You're saying
it's an analogous there. In other words, it's
the same type of case.
Would you consider like that guy philosophical?
Are you saying each person? Are they analogous? Each one to each one. The two people that you set up, are they
the
analogous?
I'm saying the two cases.
Oh, the two cases. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So because if you look at them individually, I think the person who thinks he's keeping in love is different than the person, in our case, who's a mazer, right? Because it's different because that. You're saying a sect where that sect believes that is Judaism, so they're not distorting. Now, if that person within that sect would distort that, meaning they're just mistaken. They think that that's really the.
So you could start with the guy who started that movement. You know, if it helps the.
Oh, you're
my
saying
point
that
is like
they know what the real halacha is, but they're doing this way, or no?
They think this is the real halacha.
Yeah. Right. So, but it would sound like that. That these people in this sect, they're not.
But it's still distortion.
Yeah, but if you, I mean,
I thought distortion we were talking about was like it's okay for me to drive on Shabbat because I live far away and like I'm gonna go to the
right.
That's distortion, but
that's just extreme distortion.
But that's distortion
right.
Where your mom is violating halacha. You could have distortion to where you have the wrong idea of what Shabbat is, but you're still not violating the mo. You're still not going to do malachim.
But even smaller, like let's say you need to rip a toilet paper or something, and you're like, oh well, it doesn't apply
here.
That's
malacha.
That's what I'm saying. It's harder to grasp the idea of driving maybe, but just to put it in smaller terms, like you need to rip something. You're like, oh, here it doesn't apply because I'm not. But as to that case,
but you're saying distortion in terms of philosophic ideas, not in terms of law.
Well, I mean, kind of both.
Right. He's saying the Jews are the ones that are in terms of the halacha and the atheists.
Right. He just doesn't.
And he has the right mindset. He has the right mindset, but he has the wrong idea.
They're both doing the atheist and the guy is just they're both
wrong
ideas.
Right, right, right. He has the right mindset, but the wrong idea.
But now in terms of
the other guy has a distorted mindset.
Right, right.
Right.
But now that's where my problem is. I don't think he has a distorted mindset because I think he's following what.
Who doesn't have a distorted mindset? The guy
the
with
Jew
who has this crazy sect.
Right.
Crazy sect.
He's not going against what he believes to be a love.
Right. But let's say the guy, but as he's saying, the idea itself, forget about the person, but the idea itself, right, is any. You know, the idea itself is a distorted idea.
Right.
So why the guy accepts the distorted idea, yeah, there could be 500 different reasons. But basically, he's entertaining, for whatever reason, he's entertaining this distorted idea. So it means his mind is distorted when it comes to this thing, right? So, but the other guy who's really doesn't believe, he follows science. The science, that's it. He just says, there's no, I am an atheist. So he's saying over there, it's not really a distortion, it's just he doesn't really, he's outside of this.
I don't understand that.
Right.
If you follow science, you can make the same rationalizations to not keep halacha, and it's a rationalization too, even though you're following science. It's just a different avenue of rationalization.
Right.
As yet, just one, I guess, is more based in
chachma. Right, so is your question that if a guy's an atheist, is that a case of
yeah.
Pesha, where he rebels against
Yeah.
Is that a case of rebellion?
I don't see what difference. I think it would still be a rationalization.
That's a case of rebellion. I see.
Oh, meaning because in the case of
because I see. He's saying, I know. Well, 1 second. The difference is rebellion. Is that considered rebellion? Or is rebellion only where, okay, yeah, right. I know this is what the system says, but I'm not keeping
right.
it because I don't want to keep it.
Right.
Or no, let's say the guy says, no, I think the system is false. I think that there is no
right.
right.
I mean, he knows that there's a group of people who follow a system.
Yeah, fine.
And
but
he was, you know, he considered himself a part of that people, and then he did some research, and now all of a sudden he doesn't.
And he says different, because
now
you actually
okay,
believe
the system
that
is crazy.
The system
yeah.
is false.
Right.
Means
right.
you're not denying the system. You're not,
That's a good question. Is that considered Pesha? I guess the question would be, does he have a rational basis? Because if the man has a rational basis, then can he consider passion?
Right, he's got some emotional reason for doing it.
But if you speak to the guy and you see everything he says in his frame, from what he knows, he's being rational.
Right.
So then you can't consider that rebellion. He's doing it because he honestly studied it, and now he may be have the wrong information. He may have the wrong facts.
Maybe
you see? Yeah, I mean, let's say a guy like Einstein. The people that he was exposed to, right? He never was exposed to anybody who had a true concepts of Torah. So the only concept that he got of Torah didn't make sense to him, right? So that he was really operating rationally. So you can't say it's Pesha. But let's say the person is exposed to the true ideas of Torah, right? And you speak to him and you see, hey, this guy has no basis to leave. That's that means there's an emotion forcing him to rebel.
I don't understand that point.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't say if a guy in his framework, if he is rational, you can't call it rebellion. I mean, he's not a chait. He's not doing anything wrong. He's following his mind.
Why do you say Einstein?
Let's say a guy like Einstein. Let's say he's a... I mean, I'm just assuming. I'm taking him as an example. But you have a rational guy who studies science, and his exposure to religion he was not exposed to any rational ideas in religion. Whereas the people that he was exposed to didn't really understand the system, so anything they explained to him didn't make sense. So how can you say that the guy's is a rebeller? He's following his mind. Now, if the guy was exposed to true chachamim, who explained to him ideas that made sense, and he heard the ideas and he just rejected them for no reason, okay, so then you say the guy's rebellion. That's rebellion. Now, you can't say a guy who's following his mind is rebelling. Otherwise, why are you following the Torah?
But then
the only reason we follow the Torah is because it makes sense. If it didn't make sense, we wouldn't follow it either.
Right.
So this guy's acting rationally. Right, so rebellion has to be a guide that if you speak to him, you'll see this guy is not rational. Nothing he's saying makes sense. Right?
Yeah,
that's good.
Right?
Because that's the famous thing that that's what Rabbi Chase said, like, to people that say, like, well, we can't listen to science because it goes against the Torah. So he says, well, one second, why are you following the Torah? Because it makes sense, right? Now, if science is saying that something makes sense, how could you reject science? Then you have to reject the Torah. Because you have to say, well, we don't follow things that make sense. So then why are you following the Torah?
Right.
It's impossible to reject science on the basis of Torah. That's an impossibility. Because then you have to reject your mind. Oh, you reject your mind? Well, then why are you following Torah?